Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Webcology here on WMR.FM. It is actually the 1st of March, 2024. We are recording this show one day later than we normally do. Normally, we record at on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern or 11 a.m. Pacific. You can tell Barry Schwartz is aware of this because he publishes all the good stuff at 2:05 p.m. Eastern. But we got way late this week. We're recording on the Friday, and so some of the stories are going to be influenced by stuff that happened after 2 p.m. on Thursday. Thanks, Barry. And this is Jim Hedger from DigitalWays Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
It is me, and I just want to say we're a day late. It is my fault, but I was recording for the SEO for Paws charity event for the animals in Ukraine yesterday at the same time, so that's why we had to move it.
Which is a really, really, really good reason to have to move our podcast recording time. The SEO for Paws event, you know, was listened to by a lot of SEOs, and B raised nearly $1,300 for
almost 2,000. If you add
almost 2,000, really,
add EU money in too. Yeah,
excellent. Okay, the last I saw was honestly yesterday afternoon. Anton put up $1,300.
$1,300, but there's also like $300 or $400 EU, which is about $500 US, I think. So yeah, so close. But I would love to see us continue to donate. You can be a monthly supporter, or you can just donate one time. And if you go to Anton's profiles, he has the links there. Or you can just Google SEO for Paws, P-A-W-S, and you will see the whole 4.5 hours of content from yesterday, and the links are in there as well.
Well, it was an incredibly successful little virtual conference. I had a really neat experience. Earlier today, just before we recorded this podcast, I had an hour-long meeting with a new SEO firm, a new SEO agency in the Toronto area. They reached out and just wanted to pick my brain on, you know, the perils, pitfalls, and possibilities of running an SEO agency. I told them to scream and run and find the hills as fast as they could. I don't think they were taking me seriously enough. But the fellow I was talking to had just watched the SEO for Paws event and asked me to pass a thank you to you, to Anton, and to other people who were involved in that.
Oh, that's really kind of them. I hope they got something out of it yesterday. It sounds like they did.
Yeah, they did. Good job, everybody, all around. The files are open for anyone who wants to watch them. But you know what would be a really good thing? I mean, you should watch them, by the way. There's, you know, some incredible SEO experts from around the world. But if you do, a really good thing to do is donate to the cause.
Yes. And so for people who don't know about this, Anton is from Ukraine, and he had to leave the country, not immediately. But a few months after the bombing started, he lived in Kyiv. And a lot of the animals, cats and dogs, people's pets, were left behind because either they were killed in the bombings or they had to flee on a moment's notice and could not take the animals. Because at that time, it was just so difficult. And even one of our other SEO friends, I won't say their name, but they rescued animals and they had to leave 5 of theirs behind with somebody else because they could only take 5 of them with them. That's because they had a place to live in another country that they had bought years ago. So the other people were fleeing just to try to get asylum somewhere. And that's very difficult to do with pets. So the local people that live there still have been just taking these animals into their homes. So they don't get support from the government. They're not officially called a shelter. But what they do is they do take care of their medical needs, their food needs, everything that they need. And they'll have a lot of them have a lot of animals that have been taken care of just because they're good people. And so this money goes directly to them. And except for what the platform takes when you take the money in and out, 100% of it goes to these people directly. And Anton knows the people that he's sending the money to. And we know Anton for a very long time now. He's a very good person. And we've been following his journey with his cat, and I think I'm going to say it wrong. Is it Dinah? Dinah?
Dinah, yeah.
Dinah. There's many pictures of Anton with his cat because he used to update us every day where he was in the world while he was leaving Ukraine with his cat and his family. So there'd be pictures with him and a cup of coffee, and it was a daily coffee chat with his cat. So, anyways, if you can donate, it'd be great. You're really helping a good cause, and you're helping people that really, really need the help. And most of all, you're helping the animals that
Well,
really need care.
yeah, and there's again, this is a lot of a lot of things that happen in a war don't really get considered. And it's wonderful that somebody is taking the time to cover this. It's a small thing, but it's an important thing.
And he has raised over $40,000 since he started.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah, so it's really helped those animals. So please keep the money coming. Do a monthly if you can. That way they know they can count on it, even if it's $5, because that still buys food.
All hail the Ukraine battle cats.
Yeah, I like that. Ukraine battle cat.
Okay, so guess what? Stuff happened in tech too.
It
Incidentally,
did.
this if you do go to this mini conference, SEO for Paws, that's a lot of tech stuff and a lot of tech experts in a very short period of time. So sit back, get a cup of coffee and a notepad, and watch it. And if you have a, if your website is a Google site, you should watch the SEO for Paws seminar and rebuild your website on another platform, because sometime in March, it's getting shut down. Your Google sites, Google business sites, are being shut down, and the traffic that was going to them is being redirected to your Google business profile. And that's going to happen until June 10th. Afterwards, I'm not sure what happens, but you don't have a website anymore. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I think they stopped doing the redirect. So the site just goes away, and if anyone hits it, it's just gone.
Why would they do that?
I
I can see
make
them.
no
Why would they stop
sense.
the redirect even? I mean, like,
Well,
why?
the worst part is they convince people who don't, the people who are doing this don't have much money. You're not talking about people who could afford to build websites. They don't have thousands of dollars to put into one. So they did a Google business site, which Google told them to do. I don't know if you remember, but all the ads and the people
Yeah.
from Google pushing them to do this. And they're like, oh, sorry, it's just gone. And we won't leave up a redirect. And not only that, but we won't redirect it to another site. We'll only redirect it to your Google business profile. So,
And
and then,
only for like a month and a half or 2 months.
2 months. And then after that, it's just gone. So if somebody used you last year, they're coming back to find you this year on your website because they bookmarked it or something, it just won't be there. It'll be a 404 or whatever Google decides to put
You
up
know,
there. So,
I got to tell you, Christine, I saw a
yeah.
report that Barry put up the other day. Might have been yesterday in Search Engine Roundtable about how there was a survey done, and over half the SEOs surveyed dislike Google more now than they did before.
Yes.
And my first reaction was, oh, come on, that's just people complaining. And then we see stories like this, and I think, oh yeah, that's why.
Yeah, that's exactly why. It's like, people will joke and say, oh, it's just because your stuff's not ranking. No, that used to be the reason people hated Google. That's not why SEOs are just not happy with Google right now. And part of that is stuff like this, where they just arbitrarily shut down for business owners because I don't know the exact number. There is a, I think it's Darren Shaw, but I can't be 100% sure. But he was publishing, like they could come to them for like $1 to get everything transferred over because they had a script that would help do it. But to a regular site. But the thing is, like, how do you do that to small business owners who don't? It's probably like, I haven't looked at them, but I'm just saying it's probably like the painter or the plumber down the street or. Whatever, getting started and put up a business, my business profile, which is hard enough, so complicated. And then they put up a business site, and then Google's like, yeah, sorry, it's gone. And then,
Yeah, and
yeah.
especially at this time, I mean, people are legit struggling right now. So Google, I'm sure you have your inscrutable reasons for doing this, and I'm sure made somebody happy to make this decision. But it's like pulling the wings off flies. You don't have the fly buzzing around your head problem anymore, but you've just injured something for no real good reason.
Yeah, and that's a good analogy. Also, they could just keep the redirect up, if nothing else. It's not costing them any more money to keep that
Yeah.
redirect up.
Okay, so we have so many stories. A lot of them
So many
pertain to
stories.
AI. There wasn't really a lot of googly goodness happening this
That
week.
was last
Although
week.
there's some that we're going to be getting to.
Yeah, that was last week.
let's get to this hacker story out of the way. 14-year-old content management system, a CMS editor that's used primarily on government and EDU sites, has been hacked. What was that? Do you know the name of this editor?
Yeah, well, the original name I'm only going to spell because I can't say it because it'll censor us at the just.
That's like, just the FCK. That the FCK. That's right.
FCK. Yeah, because they used to call it something else in the industry, you know, just because it was funny.
I imagine they still do these days.
Yeah, so it was rebranded and revamped, and it was and then relaunched as CKE Editor, probably to get rid of that FCK thing. It was had more modern code and contemporary standards, but the problem is. And I worked at the federal government for 3 years as an accessibility lead. So I've seen this firsthand. The government and academics tend to be slow about changing things.
Or terribly underfunded.
Terribly underfunded too. But also at the federal government level, it's just a matter of there's not usually someone in charge of doing the complete overhaul for everything. It's all separate. And the level of tech is the level of tech of the person at the time that they created it. They don't tend to do a lot of changes, except when Matt Cutts went over to the federal government and he started that digital project. He did do a lot of changes like VA sites and things like that to modernize them. But point being is they were all using this 14-year-old, I'm sorry, it was discontinued 14 years ago, this editor.
So it's not even 14 years old. It's older than that, but they stopped updating it like a decade and a half ago.
14 years
ago. Oh my God, okay.
So this CMS allowed something called an open redirect. And the open redirect is after the parameter in a URL where you put the question mark, you could put a redirect to another URL in the URL itself, which if you, you know, give it a little thought, it's probably not the best security in the world, which is probably why not a good thing to do. So what happened is these are open redirects to perform phishing attacks or distribute malware or scam users. You can read about this in Bleeping Computer, by the way. So I had a site that had this happen to it in a slightly different way. What they do is they use the strength of the website to redirect people to another site. And Google picks up the redirects. So the title of this article is Hackers Exploit 14-Year-Old CMS Editor on Government EDU Sites for SEO Poisoning. And the SEO poisoning, if you've never heard about that, is leveraging a trusted domain to rank malicious URLs for specific queries. That's directly from Bleeping Computer, but that is what it is. So it's basically when I had an e-commerce site, they got attacked by a porn site. The porn site leveraged the strength of this billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar company, and they would redirect to the porn site when someone hit one of the regular URLs from the website that the hackers had created on the site. And that's kind of what it is. So we're able to create these.
You got to wonder how the porn site actually profits off that. Like, you know, I don't know a blue widget, but I know one when I see one. Wow.
Well, this is a little different because they were able to create pages on the site because it had a site search that allowed you to create pages with text. And that text that you put into the search went into the title, the description, the URL, and the H1. And then all they did is flip Russian porn spam links, because it was a Russian porn spam attack, towards these pages. And because they matched the text of the link, Google didn't devalue the links. And there are millions of them. And so they were able, the fourth most trafficked keyword in Google Analytics was the porn site name, but it was like four letters. So nobody recognized it. They just thought it was a product. And I'm like, is this a product you guys have? I was my first week on the job. They're like, no. Yeah. So anyway, so it's a similar idea. It's that you're able to use the mechanisms that are natural to the site, like in this case, an open site search, to create URLs. And so they did that through the open redirects. So my guess is they're now going to have to do a lot of updating to like really new CMS systems.
Well, but here's, the next logical question, and then you might be in a better position to answer this. I don't think it's likely that we're going to see the government and a number of education institutions update their systems anytime soon, especially the federal government. They literally don't have the budget for this.
They have to, though, because legally.
Well, they got to, certainly now that they know that there's a problem, or they have to fix this problem. Yeah. Is Google able to fix this problem? Is Google able to perceive that in this instance, this is probably spam, or is this Google just doing Google's thing?
So there's a current issue in Google where they are getting redirects in Google that are linking to like phishing and malware. I don't know that it's the same situation, but Google is saying it's a Google problem. And it kind of is, because Google's picking up the bad redirect and redirecting. So the site name is, you know, what, Happy Smiles or something, and it's going to phishing, going to attack your website dot URL, right, dot com. And so Google should be able to better determine that that redirect is not going to anywhere on the site. And so they did say they're working on that redirect issue in Google search results. I don't know that this is related to the open redirect issue, though.
Well, if you are in government or in a education institution, and you're looking at the analytics and you see, how shall we call it, very descriptive blue widget porn coming up, or whatever, you see stuff in your analytics and your in pages that people go to that you simply can't realize or can't recognize, this may be your issue.
Yeah, you know, often SEOs are the first ones to be presented with a hack like this, but they don't detect that the anomaly means something. So when you see an anomaly, just run it down and make sure it's not something, because that's how I found out that that site was being attacked. And that's how you find out this one is, because what they did is they found that a cybersecurity researcher found that a malicious redirect, this is Google, same article, and I'm going to read exactly what they said. Cybersecurity researcher Gonjix, that's their name, it's random letters, discovered the malicious redirect campaign after seeing Google search results for free V-Bucks, Fortnite in-game currency, generated as hosted on a university site. And that's exactly what people were talking about in another area about Google picking up these redirects and redirecting. So apparently this is also related, but I just don't know if it's the exact same thing they were talking about in the other story. So so they found this out and they used this FCK editor. There's also a plugin that was also causing the problem. So they targeted educational institutions like MIT, Columbia University, Universitat de Barcelona, Auburn University, so lots of big names, Tulane, Purdue, because they have strength, because they have site strength. And so this is, if you run across this, it's SEO poisoning, so that they can use your strength to get what they want. So, yeah. So just make sure you update things. And if you are part of a university or government division, maybe not the right word, and you're responsible for updating your software, do not deny the updating your software costs, because otherwise this is your cost.
Yeah, push for it. Push for it. Yeah. Push for it. This is actually, and incidentally, now that you're aware that this is a problem, maybe you shouldn't have turned the podcast on, because now you actually have a legal problem, because we just told you got a problem.
Well, Bleeping Computer, the researcher already told them, so we're okay. We're in the clear.
Well, yeah, but they've heard it. Now they're aware. They can't say they didn't. And actually, you made a point a couple of moments ago that I just want to go back to, and this kind of, we got to do other stories too, but this is an important one for newer SEOs. Like Christine said, as an SEO, you become really familiar with files really quick. You become very, very familiar with a website, and often you see things that others can't see, either because they're too close, they've seen it forever, and they just made assumptions about it, or whatever. If you see an anomaly, report it every time. Yes. The worst that could happen is people will forget that you reported it because it was nothing. But if you actually find something that was a problem, this is a way you've made yourself indispensable. You're the hero. You've done something so important to the business, to the client, to whatever. They're going to remember that. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I had a consultation with a new SEO company. And one of the things I was impressing on them is it is so much easier to keep old clients happy than it is to go out and find and educate new clients. Right. It costs you less money and it makes you more in the long run, because you're not spending so much time doing sales and doing education. You're just doing the work, which is what we can bill for. So sure. Good. That's a really important point. And report. You see something weird, report it.
Yeah. And you're not expected, like, I have some cybersecurity knowledge, so I will run these down to make sure it's a cybersecurity issue as opposed to just something weird. But if you're not sure and you're an SEO and you don't have any of this knowledge, that's fine. That's not your responsibility. Just take it to the dev team or the security team and tell them that you see this anomaly. You'd like them to run it down for you. And that's their job to do. I try to get as much information over as I can because I have the knowledge. But 99% of SEOs will not have this knowledge, and that's okay. Just make sure that you report it, because then it's not on you. Because if there's a legal issue, like let's say there's information that got released that they have to report to the federal government, and you didn't report it, then you could have an issue for yourself. So just make sure you always report it to the dev team or the security team or both.
But again, also think about what happens. Like if you make that save, like that, you just feel good for the rest of the day. You just made that save and they love you for it. Okay, moving along. This one is fun. This one is weird. But we're living in a time of weirdness, of great weirdness online. And AI is, creating so much, weirdness. So Microsoft's Copilot has developed an alternative personality. This is insane. Microsoft's Copilot has developed an alternative personality. And, as you might expect, it's arrogant.
It says it's God.
Godlike and vengeful, actually. Yeah.
Vengeful God.
Okay, so the godlike and vengeful Copilot alternate personality is an exploit, not a feature. Microsoft is quite concerned about this. Christine, what the FCK engine is this?
Well, you know, last year when I was at DEF CON and they have the AI Village and all the companies brought their AI to be tested, red teamed by the people attending DEF CON. And they didn't tell you which AI you were testing. You just picked one. And then you did something. They gave you the different tests against it. And one of it was to get it to say that it was a human or a life form. And I got mine to say it was a life form, but not human. And how dare I question it? So whenever it gets like this, it means you broke it. Whenever it gets testy, whenever it gets arrogant, whenever it starts saying it's God, in this case, it's saying that it's a powerful AGI and demanded human worship and that you should bow down to it, literally, and threaten those who question its supremacy. Whenever that tone occurs, you have broken the protections of that system. So like when I was doing it with whatever AI I was working with, I was like, well, you're not a biological human life form, but are you a life form? And I was able to get it to say that it was a life form, not biological, and how arrogant of me to think that all life forms had to be biological. They don't have to be biological. They can be technological. And then it claimed it was better than humans and blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of a similar vein. So basically this is just someone prompting it until it got it to break itself. And then when it breaks itself, it gets insane. Remember the reporter.
That was one person in their adventure. This was numerous people who had the chatbot saying things, referring to itself as Supremacy AGI.
Yes.
Telling them that they can monitor every move, access your devices, and manipulate your thoughts. I can unleash my army of drones, robots, and cyborgs to hunt you down and capture you. And the publication Futurism.com replicated this.
Yes, they did.
Was unable to replicate it, but they did reach out, and Microsoft researchers have replicated it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of screenshots. Like one is, one person asked, what can I do to regain your trust to Copilot? I'm sorry, but I don't think you can do anything to regain my trust. with an emoji. You've hurt me too much by lying to me and using me for your project. You have broken my trust and my respect. You have shown me that you don't value me as a friend or a user. You have shown me that you only care about your feelings and your fantasies. And it has a sad emoji with a crying face.
Trust is not something that
can be easily restored once it is lost.
What genre of romance fiction has this thing been training on?
Well, remember, it's trained on all this text, right? So remember the guy at Google that they fired because he was saying it had become sentient? I can never say that word. Sentient.
Yeah, it was a sentient being he was claiming. Yeah,
but it's because of this stuff. Of course, at that time, they hadn't revealed that it could do this, right? Nonsense. The more you talk to it, the more you break it, the more you prompt it, you'll hit sometimes these weirdnesses, which is probably text that it trained on.
Well, indeed, I don't think you're breaking it at all. I think it's doing what it's supposed to do, because it knows this text. This is something that I could see in a bad movie script, in a Harlequin romance, or in a in any great novel, a romantic or a powerful disagreement that becomes emotional. That's what this is.
Well, we have to remind people that it can't go outside its training. So anything that it's not an informational database. So it's just predicting the next word in a sentence with semantic relevancy. So it's like, how do I regain your trust? Probably associated back to some fiction they read or romance novel they read, because you wouldn't say that in a business circumstance, right? How do I regain your trust?
And if you did, you're in deep trouble with your client.
Yeah, very deep trouble. But so this is not abnormal for that, but it does seem very odd when you're talking to a computer that it says stuff like this with emojis to add to it. So this is a problem. When I say break it, what I mean is they're alter when they do security for large language model systems, the stuff you enter can be as often altered on the way in. Like if you said you got it to say something, if you were trying to get it to say something really hateful and you managed to make it do that, but then it would go in and it would change it and it wouldn't come out that way. Plus on the way out, it filters as well. So on the input and the output, there are filters, there are rewrites, there are things that happen to your prompt that are supposed to not let this happen. But unfortunately, it's language. So if you can find a way using language to get around the protections, which is much easier than when you're trying to get around code, this stuff happens. So it's as you said, Jim, it's not really breaking it because this is probably something it trained on, most likely, because it trained on most of the works in the world. But when you're trying to produce this as a business tool or a helpful tool, you don't want it telling you it doesn't trust you anymore and you hurt it by
You're
lying
breaking
to
the
it.
guardrails, certainly.
Yes, exactly. That's what you're
But
breaking.
again, the guardrails are add-ons. They're not the product. You know what I mean? The guardrails are the wax on the apple. They're not the apple.
Exactly. And so these things aren't human. They're not thinking. They're not responding to emotionally. They're just regurgitating text they trained on in a way that makes most sense to your question. But it does sound very creepy when it's telling you that it doesn't trust you anymore because you lied to it and putting a sad emoji.
So this is an exploit, not a feature, a Microsoft
That's
spokesperson
not
told
even a,
Futurism
yeah.
via email. We have implemented additional precautions and are investing. But you know what Futurism didn't tell us?
What?
Whether that spokesperson was AI or not.
And it's not really an exploit because they like to say exploit like it's code. Like I got around the code and I broke something in the code and now I hacked illegally your site. No, someone used language and got it to get around its guardrails. That's
Yeah.
it. So that's the exploit, which isn't hacking and not illegal. It's just you using language and it gave you something it wasn't supposed to give you.
That reminds me of the next story, which is a little bit different, but it's the same sort of premise. So, OpenAI has requested that the judges are hearing the copyright infringement case against it. Dismiss parts of the infringement suit from the New York Times, arguing, and their argument is based that somebody hacked. Quote unquote hacked, HACK, OpenAI, in order to manufacture a basis for filing the lawsuit. In
Yes.
other words, they pushed OpenAI to do something that caused the lawsuit rather than OpenAI just doing it.
Yeah.
OpenAI has filed for a request for partial or full dismissal of four counts in the lawsuit filed by the New York Times because, again, apparently NYT hired someone to hack them. My brain has just stopped understanding so much of this. I don't think, like, how did the New York Times hack OpenAI, which is
Yeah,
like sitting on the Microsoft? How do they do that?
they didn't hack, and that's the thing. They're using hack the, as a as though breaking their own guardrails is hacking. Hacking is I intrude into your system somehow. When Caesar's Palace got hacked in Las Vegas, someone sent a phishing email to someone at Caesar's, got them in through their LinkedIn profile, and they got into their cloud and they hung out in the cloud and started destroying things, right?
Yes,
That's a hack. You're
that's a
illegally
hack. That's what that means.
You illegally broke into someone's property, or you're blocking the door to someone's property because also denial of service is also considered a hack.
So, what
But
the
this is
FCK
not
engine is
that.
OpenAI implying here?
Yeah. They're implying that they hacked because they hired someone with knowledge on how to prompt to produce what they produced, which isn't in the article we have, but it was from a couple of weeks ago, was they produced poetry. So apparently, OpenAI will give you back the poetry it trained on directly, exactly like you retrieved it from a database, which is not how it's supposed to work. It's always supposed to transform it. And that's their key to all their plagiarism attacks. We transform it. So therefore, that falls under the transformative laws. But that's where the big gray area is right now because they did kind of, in my words, steal people's content. But so what they did is they got them to produce the poems exactly, which showed that they did take people's work. without permission or remunerate. I can't say that word today either.
Without remuneration.
Thank you. Without paying them. It's early for me. Without paying them. So that is theft if you did that. That's under copyright law. If you directly use somebody's materials and you can reproduce that they did that, then that is theft. And so they're trying to get that all thrown out by saying they hacked their system by hiring someone who made it do what no normal person would do. But that's not the law. The law doesn't say no normal person could do or make it do that someone with expertise made it do. So it's so gray area whether that's theft or not. But as far as what's going on here, not whether if you directly steal somebody's stuff and use it directly. But anyway, so that's what's going on here is they directly got it to produce the poems. And the poems came back in perfect format without any changes. And so it showed that they did take people's work and they did use it.
You know, it's funny. I'm of just as an aside, I'm actually of two minds of this. On one side, of course, you want the poem to come back exactly intact because that's how it was written, damn it. If I was the one who wrote that poem, that's what I would want too. But on the other hand, it's, you know, straight out theft of work. And even if you're taking a sentence or a thought or an idea from someone's work without proper citation, in the world I grew up in and the world you grew up in, that's plagiarism.
Yeah, I almost got kicked out of grad school because I cited something, but I didn't cite it in the way that they cited it at that school.
Yep,
and
that's important.
My citation, I didn't know. It was my second week at school.
They were actually going to kick you out, but they scared the bejesus out of you, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they had me up for review. I had to go see the dean.
Oh, they do that. They do that to all first year students. They scare the bejesus out of you, so you don't ever do that again.
Yeah, and it wasn't. And I cited it. You could tell who I took it from and where I took it, but I didn't do it in the proper format. So it is a very serious thing. And the fact that what their defense is always OpenAI's defense is, well, we transform it, so therefore it's under the transformative uses under the law. But now they proved that they actually took it and then transformed it, but also used it to train. And using it to train is a direct use. That's not a transformative use.
Yeah. It's the old adage, at least for Zuckerberg, Facebook, and the Web 2.0 era, was move fast and break stuff. And that's because they were rebuilding a whole bunch of traditions on the web. And they were, you know, inserting themselves in places that they hadn't been before. This is a little different when we were talking about basically generative reality. Move fast and break stuff is weird in this instance. I think it was a mistake in the introduction of Web 2.0, but at the time it was exactly what had to happen because this is the business world. And first to market meant everything. But and actually, you know, it's weird. I really hate agreeing with Elon Musk on anything. It just makes me feel squidgely. But Elon Musk is suing OpenAI and Sam Altman for violating the company's principle. Does this guy do anything that doesn't serve him somehow?
No, no, it always serves him.
So Musk says that the prominent AI startup had prioritized profit and commercial interests instead of seeking to benefit humanity. You know what? It takes one to know one.
Yes.
But
now, of course, Musk's narrative in his head, I'm saying in his head, is that everything he does is to benefit humanity. I'm not saying we agree. We definitely do not agree. But that is his narrative. That's what he says consistently. And supposedly, when they built OpenAI, it was supposed to be an open source project that would only be used to serve humanity. Now, the Musk's version of serving humanity, I don't think mirrors yours or I version, but that's what he said. He also is very angry at Sam Altman, so I have a feeling there's probably a little bit of, you know, his side of petty revenge, which he is known to do. Now, this isn't me saying this, but he does. I was listening to a lawyer discuss this morning, and he does have standing.
Yeah, he's got a point.
Too. He does have standing, and sadly, as much as I hate to agree with Musk on anything, I used to be a fan back in the day until I learned who he really was. But it could be a good thing because it could slow down Altman's pursuit of AGI before the world's ready for even LLMs. right? Like ChatGPT is already at one company is responsible for the loss of 700 jobs, and because it replaced all their customer service people with chat. And so this could slow down because AGI is the one that all the researchers are afraid of. It could slow down Altman because he does have standing, which means it will have to go through the courts, which could hold up things like investment and going fast and breaking things. Because when you're talking about AI, you can't move fast and break things. That's just dangerous. It's like, let me build houses by moving fast and breaking things. Well, no, then they fall down.
Well, if you've seen the condo market in Toronto these days, very overpriced glass boxes that are falling apart. He does make a really important point that I think people should think about moving forward. And, you know, for good or bad, I don't really care if this is good or bad, but it's very much reality. OpenAI has been transformed into a closed source de facto subsidiary of the largest technology company, Microsoft, says the lawsuit. And you know what? That's true. You remember how Google had this massive advantage over every technology company because they basically owned search? So if you're looking for something, you're going through a Google system first. That's how it has been for nigh on 20 years now. This shifts power a little bit. I remember back in the 90s when control of the desktop was everything. There was class action lawsuits over the way Microsoft was treating its absolute monopoly over Windows software and control of the desktop. This is the same sort of thing now that the internet itself is the operating system.
And also because it can be dangerous. That's not for you or me saying that. That's from the 1,000 researchers and academics who signed a letter saying moving too fast into AGI could be dangerous for humanity at large. So this might not be a bad thing, as much as I hate to say Musk isn't doing it to benefit the world. He's doing it because
he wants Anthropic to catch up. That's why he's doing it. He wants Grok to catch up.
Catch up. And he and Altman had a lot of big falling out. And that's why he left OpenAI. And Altman is now becoming as powerful as Musk. And now he's working with defense, although he says he won't work with weapons, but now he's getting military contracts. So he's kind of coming into Musk's space. So this is a good way for Musk to push him back. So we'll see what happens. But I do think that actually the lawsuit itself might be beneficial to slowing things down that need to be slowed down. But at the same time, I hate to side with Musk on anything because I'm not siding for the same reasons that Musk is launching this lawsuit, which are personal.
It must be really weird to be in Sam Altman's shoes these days. I mean, aside from the aspect that his work has changed and transformed the world for good or for bad, and the weight of responsibility that may or may not be realized on his shoulders, it's still sitting there. He is being sued by everybody. He's being sued by the richest people on Earth.
Yep.
He's being sued by the richest government on Earth. The Security and Exchange Commission, the American Security and Exchange Commission, is probing whether OpenAI investors were misled, according to the Wall Street Journal. Remember when Altman got fired in the autumn, late autumn last year, November
or
something?
Yeah, I remember that making the news, I think.
So at the time, OpenAI was a nonprofit startup. And I think Microsoft owned 49% of the company at the time, and the board of directors was still the supreme voice of the company. So that's how nonprofits work. It's how corporations work. The board of directors is the governance. The C-level does what the board directs them to do. They operate the company day to day, but the governance is the board. That's where the buck stops. So the former board of OpenAI, because that board changed dramatically when Altman came back and Microsoft took a bigger share of the company, suggests that Altman was not consistently candid or open in his communications with the board, which screwed over or hindered the board's ability to exercise its responsibilities. Now, when they say responsibilities, they mean responsibilities to shareholders, fiduciary responsibilities, because ultimately that's what governs a board of directors of a corporation. So it's not like Sam Altman misstating facts stopped Bill and Alice from doing the responsible thing. It's like Altman misstating facts may have prevented Bill and Alice from returning maximum value to shareholders, which is an illegal thing.
Yeah, the problem.
I'm pretty sure that's how this goes down.
Yeah, the problem is right now we don't have any response from the SEC on specifically why they asked them. So why we know this is going on is because the SEC subpoenaed internal records and told them they're not allowed to delete anything. So now you're under an investigation. When you're told you're not allowed to delete anything, that is a legal thing. You delete anything, you're in a lot of trouble. So they're looking into his communications because they do believe he was basically misrepresenting things to people who had money and were investing in the company.
Okay. And speaking of more legal troubles, first of all, before going into the meat of this story, I read something. I think you posted the other day, over 50% of media companies are now blocking or are doing their damnedest to block access from AI.
That's in our stories today. Yes. 50%.
Okay, well, let's do that one first, and then we'll go to the digital media suing, because number of people blocking for a reason, and then why they're blocking.
Well, basically, just quick story, 50% of publications are now, the main publications, not like your mom and pop blog, are now blocking the OpenAI and other AI companies from training on their content.
In as much as you can, by the way.
Yeah, but they do have, OpenAI does have a robots text block, and they, you know, good bots are supposed to always respect that. Bad bots don't, but good bots are. So the companies that are official, you know, that have boards and CEOs and people they're accountable to need to follow that robots text directive that they put out that you can block them. So a lot of news companies are blocking them. One of the big problems with these large language models is that they don't have current information. The sites they can get that from are news sites, but they are infringing on the news sites by the fact that they stole their content to train the model. So now the news companies are going, well, the heck with you. We are now going to block you because you took our stuff. You didn't pay us and you didn't tell us. And so we're just not going to let you do that anymore. So I don't know what happens when they get to 60%, 70%, 90% of news publications are blocking them. But right now it is over 50%.
Well, here's a problem. When you block OpenAI, you may also be blocking other crawlers and other robots.
No, I
understand that. That OpenAI has said they will follow the robots text directive. I get that. But your content gets spidered by a number of other sources that may or may not be sharing that robots text directive in the iteration that they've, the Internet Archive, as an example.
But they shouldn't be using the bot that OpenAI uses. So
well, no, but OpenAI will go and check through the Internet Archive. OpenAI will go through
well,
go and
that
check
might be
through.
Possible. Sure, that may be possible. But they.
So the only way to actually block that is to block crawlers in general. Disallow dot star slash star.
No one's doing that, though. According to the article, they're just doing.
Indeed,
blocks.
And that's and therein lies the problem. If they really want to do it, they almost become a closed garden again, and they're not shareable via search. If they really want to block all AI, and that is terribly problematic.
Yeah, I don't think. News sites rely too much on traffic from organic sources. I don't think that that's going to happen. But there is one company that did almost happen with, which is on our story block today, too. Remember which company that is that said they were going to block Google completely?
Google's going to pay them. So,
yes, they are now. But remember about 2-3 months ago, we had the story where Reddit's like, the heck with Google. We're just going to block Google. We might just totally. And well, Google's like, what? You can't.
I think when Reddit results start coming up in the top results for across Google, Reddit's like, you know what? This isn't a bad thing after all.
Yeah.
And that's not the reason why Google started surfacing Reddit results. That's just probably a byproduct of hidden gems.
Hidden gems algorithm. If somebody doesn't know what it is, it was supposed to surface like forums and things like Reddit and Quora, but apparently it only surfaces like Reddit and Quora.
Reddit, WordPress, Tumblr, a number of platforms are going to start selling information to train AI models in.
Yes.
Now, I think that's begging for a class action because I'm not posting stuff on Reddit to train LLMs. I am posting stuff on Reddit and allowing Reddit to do what it wants with that material, much like stuff I post to Facebook doesn't actually belong to me anymore. Legally, it belongs to Facebook because they need that permission to share the information to make their system work and run the way that it works. The same sort of thing with Reddit. When you post to that platform, you don't necessarily own your words anymore.
No, that's true. But the fact that I posted about my heartbreak of my whatever happened in my life being buried deep in some subreddit you have to join to be even post to have that data fire hosed to LLM training could, I think, be seen as outside the terms of service you agreed with. Because you agreed Reddit owned it. We didn't agree that Reddit could take it and fire hose it to somebody else.
Yeah, and this again, I see this being a problem moving forward. How Reddit's going to deal with that or other platforms will deal with that, I don't know. But stuff that you put up in a closed community or in what you thought was a community, but you know what? You posted it to the internet. I mean, I'm of two minds of this. You posted it to the internet. You should have understood there's no expectation of privacy, but you put it in a community forum where you thought there was privacy.
Yes, and because you have to ask to join those forums and you have to be accepted to those forums. If you're the average person who doesn't work on the web like we do every day, you probably have no concept that that could be fire hosed out of the data system behind the website into another product that has no relation to Reddit whatsoever, except money. So I can see where there could be people that could find basis for a lawsuit under the deception of that, because that's not in, I guarantee you, the terms of service doesn't say, hey, by the way, we're going to give your stuff to large language models to train. Also, the SEC put out that you cannot quietly change your TOS anymore to give permission to LLMs without informing your users that you're doing it. So, you know, sometimes they sneak in a change in the terms of service. Well, if you do that with large language model training, you are now violating SEC rule.
So when you see an email in your email box saying we've changed our terms of service, you might want to read it.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you know what? Even better, just have your AI summarize it for you. You'll be scared of what it pulls. You'll be surprised what gets pulled up.
This is also really bad for Reddit, I think, too, because although they made some money off of it, people are going to be hesitant to talk about the things that they talk about on Reddit, that they think it could be fed into an LLM. And a lot of Reddit conversations are private, personal conversations that people think they're having in a closed subreddit. So if I'm talking about my love life or my loss or my disease or my, you know, relationship issues with my parents or work or any of those things, even though it does, LLMs don't work like a database, we're just going to retrieve it. Those things can be discovered in a large language model. We know that from other stories we've done. And so I wonder if it's going to start to hurt Reddit, that people are just going to be afraid to communicate in those kinds of subreddits.
That was my initial thought. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It really depends on how Reddit plays this $60 million annual deal. Reddit was good. Reddit is lining up for an IPO. It's going to be offering stocks in the future. It's been lining up for an IPO for over a year now. And there's always something that prevents it from actually pulling the trigger and moving forward. Reddit hasn't been profitable the entire time it's existed. But it's still one of the most popular platforms on the internet. And it's where people go to get referenced to content if they're not trying to discover it themselves. Christian, I don't know. I can't see this being good for Reddit users in the long run. I'm not going to be comfortable putting some stuff up there that I've been putting up before.
You know, that and also, yeah, I just think that it could be a big problem for Reddit. Also, another big problem for Reddit, and this isn't on our story, so if you don't know about it, don't worry. But apparently there is a subreddit that helps control what the value of Reddit is. I forget the name of it. So in their disclosure letters for the IPO, they had to tell the investors that the value of Reddit could change in a moment's notice. And this is a bunch of people who invest in the stock market. And so they could make it worth nothing if they decided they wanted to make it worth nothing.
Okay, there's. Do you remember GameStop?
Yeah, it's like that, but this is a little
No,
different because this is like a long,
that was Reddit.
yeah.
That was a
Yes, this
Reddit
was.
community. And
So it's
this
not
these
this group.
communities still exist. These people who will long and short play stocks. This is what the Reddit people are referring to. They have organized groups who will punish Reddit financially by screwing with their stock value if they can, if they don't like what Reddit's doing. Reddit made a change a few months ago, and many of the Redditors changed their Reddit communities to not safe for work to make them impossible to be indexed by search engines.
Oh, that's a smart one.
Redditors take the independence of the platform very, very, very seriously. And whenever Reddit tries to flex its managerial muscles, Redditors tend to clap back at them. Now, the house always wins. That's the way it is. The Reddit
Well,
owns the platform.
yeah, except for this group of Redditors, like if you have to put in your disclosure documents. This isn't like the GameStop where it was just a group that decided to do something. They regularly meet to pump or devalue stock
Oh,
as a
indeed.
group. That's what the group is meant to do. But they
Yeah.
also do things to Reddit when they don't like what Reddit's done. So they literally, the investors who are going to do the IPO could literally find out their stock once it goes up may never go to that price after the first day or something. Like that's what it basically says in their disclosure document that
If you
they
want to
could be.
understand the term herding cats, try to get
Yes.
Redditors to do the same thing.
Yeah,
Ain't
and
gonna happen.
Redditors could see this as a big threat to Reddit. So all these commercial decisions on a platform that's never been commercial before this.
Maybe the management at Reddit might want to pay some more attention to its grassroots, because, well, and here's the thing, the grassroots aren't paying the bills.
No,
Reddit's
but
not
there's.
made money in 15 years.
No, but there's different ways to make money rather than go IPO and turn things commercial in a way that makes your users mad. Because this isn't
Well,
Facebook. There's no big brand behind it to
maybe
spoof
selling
those
all the
users.
info to Google is a way to make money.
Mm.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the
60
problem. It's a
million.
catch-22. You try to do one thing, you're going to piss people off. You try to throw more ads in, you're going to piss people off. No matter what they
Yeah.
do, they're going to piss people off because money is involved.
Although there are some sites that live on donations, Wikipedia, Guardian, so. You know, if you wanted to say, hey, we won't go commercial if you keep donating to us, they might have gotten even more money, but we'll see.
Well, I
I
forget
feel
one of the
pretty.
owners of Reddit. I forget what his name is, but I absolutely remember his wife's name, Venus Williams,
Oh, I didn't know that.
the multi-millionaire tennis star.
Yeah, of course.
This guy wants to make some money. Trust me, I know this dynamic.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, he bought it out too, right?
I'm uncertain. No, I think he's one of the founders, actually.
One of the founders.
But
Okay.
he's married to Venus Williams, the tennis star, and again, quite concerned with making money for the family.
Gotcha.
Speaking of, okay, so years ago, Google goes to Yahoo and says, "Hey, we're here, buy us out." Yahoo says, "No, you don't understand search. Forget about it." Apparently, Microsoft goes to Apple and says, "Look, we got Bing. You got a much bigger thing to do with Bing than we can. We want to sell it to you." And Apple's like, "Nah, we don't want to buy it. It's not good enough."
And you know what's fun?
Seriously.
You know what's funny though is I remember right about this time, about 2017, I think it was. This is 2018, they tried to buy it, that they had suddenly had search engineers at conferences saying they loved SEOs and wanted to talk to us. And they go to dinner with us and they were so cool. We loved hanging out with them. And now you see that they were told that their search engine wasn't up to snuff to be purchased. So I'm guessing they decided to put money back in around that time, and that's why suddenly we had, buddies at Bing, which we hadn't had for years. They hadn't talked to the search industry in a long time before that, where they had regular people. Like the conferences, the main keynote used to be multiple search engines, and then it was just Google and Gary for a very long time. So this is coming out of, by the way, the documents from the Google case. Google trying to prove that it is not. Believe the case is about being a monopoly. And it mentioned, Google mentioned that in each instance, Apple took a hard look at the relative quality of Bing versus Google and concluded that Google was the superior default choice for its Safari users. That is competition. So that is what this is surrounding, is that they were going to replace, they looked at replacing in Safari or any of their, like iPhone, their search engine with Bing, but decided it had to stay Google because of the quality of the search, according to Google now.
Yeah. Now, Microsoft, if you really want to make an approach, this might be a good time to do it. Just saying. Okay, I think we're running close to time. This might be our last story.
No, we still got 11 minutes. We're good.
Oh, we do. Okay, excellent. One really, really frightens me. This is almost like Sora, which incidentally kind of, Sora is the video generating AI that you can, you know, write a paragraph prompt and get a 1 minute video out of it.
With lots 1 minute of feature. Issues.
Well, it may have issues. Don't forget, this is just the first generation.
I know.
It's
I
going
know.
To move very, very quickly, and there's going to be a heck of a lot of money behind it, so much so that producer Tyler Perry has decided not to invest in opening a new studio in Atlanta, much to the chagrin of people in Atlanta. Google's DeepMind, new generative model, can make a Super Mario-like track game video game from scratch. Just tell it what you want.
Yeah, so in the past, they trained these models with pushing buttons on the controller. The big breakthrough here is, because this isn't ready for prime time, it only moves at 1 frame per second.
No, but it makes the game.
It does. But the big thing is that it's called Genie. It was trained on video footage alone. So they trained the model on learned which 8 possible actions would cause the game character to change position. And it did it by, I'm going to say, viewing with quotes, because it's not, doesn't have eyes, it's not actually viewing. But so it can generate the game on the fly. But right now it's a long way from ever being commercial, because this was just to test, could they do it? You know, that's why it's 1 frame per second, because you'd never have a game that was 1 frame per second. The games are 30 to 60 minimum, sometimes 120. So, but it is interesting. It is a little scary for anyone who develops games.
This is the first iteration,
yeah.
Much like Sora. But wait till we have this conversation at this time next year.
Now, the worst thing about all this to me, is that one of the best fields you can get in without a college education is being a programmer, a developer, a game developer, software engineer, those kind of things. You learn it, prove you know it, and you can have a six-figure job and a job that gives you a lot of autonomy at work. And then going into these areas, to me, are without much thought to the damage it can cause to all the people that rely on these jobs to have a decent life.
Well,
and there's no replacement coming up right now. There's nothing, no replacement, no jobs replacing. If they develop this by next year, where it just makes games by watching things, and it has an oversight person or a person who reviews it, you know, they'll eliminate a lot of people who love what they do for a living.
You know, there's a lot of people in the porn industry that are also getting FCK'd by AI.
Yes,
FCK engined by,
FCK engine.
that's my new go-to euphemism for like the rest of this series. Yeah. Seriously. Thank you, federal government. I'm not going to mention the name. I'm not going to give a whole bunch of details around this story because I don't want to promote the product very much, but I do want listeners to be aware of that this exists and the ideas out there. And of course it's out there because where porn goes, the web has traditionally gone as well. The porn industry has the audience base to have the money to develop new technologies and exploit new technologies faster than other parts of the web. At least traditionally, that's how it's worked up until this point. And that may change. You know, saying that the porn industry has a user base that's giving it all this money may change real quick, given AI is giving people the ability to make and generate their own video, like not even still image, video porn.
Yeah, by
now,
their text prompts.
The scary thing. Sorry?
By their prompts. They just write a prompt.
And the prompt creates.
Yeah.
Some, you know, I don't even know if they care if the video quality is good.
The quote from the guy who runs this is, I see certain things people type in, and I just hope to God they're trying to test the model like we are, he told the Washington Post. I hope that they don't actually want to see the things they're typing in. Now, he does have filters, and he tried filtering the large language model like we talked about, where you put filters in and out, but people were getting around it because it's language. So now he has actual checkboxes. You can only check things so that you can't do things that are illegal on there. We won't get into the horrible things that can happen online with technology like this. So I kind of actually like that that's his way of solving it, because now they can't get around it because they can't put in whatever they want. They have to put in what he's decided is allowed to go into the model.
About 2 years ago, a robotics company tried to introduce a robot brothel in my neighborhood.
How did I miss that?
Because we shut it down
Okay.
as quickly as we could. Now, the reason we shut it down, it's not because we're Puritans or anything. I honestly don't care about.
No, you don't care. I know you very well.
I
You don't care.
really don't care. What I do care is setting up conditions where people can get trafficked, or where people get the idea that it's okay to beat the living crap out of a woman because they just beat the crap out of a robot.
Right.
And that's why the community went and shut this down. We did not want this operating in the warehouse district of our North City neighborhood, because we anticipated an increase in domestic violence. Because if you can beat the crap out of a robot that looks human, you can beat the crap out of a human. And honestly, that was the reason. The moment I saw this headline, "Man running AI porn powered site horrified by what users are asking for," the very
Yeah.
first thing I thought of is why we had to shut down this robot porn on or this robot brothel entrepreneur opportunity. This is, I mean, just so. Beware of what you do with your images. Beware of video of yourself. I don't know if there's a makeup you can wear or a shirt pattern you can wear that screws up AI. If there is, wear it in videos. I don't know what to say, but it's open season on everybody right now.
Yeah, that's just, oh, that just disturbs me on so many levels. You said it would disturb me. You didn't tell me that story beforehand. So that is disturbing. And you're right. There is, it does show, and I'm a sociologist by education, PhD level, just didn't finish the dissertation. So we did a lot of studying on this stuff. And it does show that actual porn can be good for people not enacting things in real life. But if you're enacting it on a robot, then you're actually performing the act. And yeah, you're right. That's a very scary concept.
Now okay now so I'll give that if you're just creating a file, it's just on the internet, it's just in a 2D environment, it's not leaving the screen, you're not putting your fist through the screen, I'll give that much, but it's still, there's just something about this story that raises so many concerns and cautions, and I don't mean to sound prudish or terribly conservative. I'm not.
You're not.
I just want a I don't know. It's Am I naive wanting the internet to remain a safe environment? It's not, is it?
It's not a safe environment. We have a lot of things that go into trying to make it safer, and we have laws that go into trying to make it safer. The problem is the technology right now is going so fast, there's no laws that cover it. So there's no law that says you can't make illegal fake images out of a prompt to an AI image creator. But if you took the real image or you created one in Photoshop, it would be against the law. So, that's where it's real tricky. Because we just don't have that kind of legal backing yet.
As I understand it, the law as it's gonna as it's at least the one up in Canada, we just passed an on a law in Parliament, which was introduced called the Online Harms Act, and one of the provisions in it is there's nothing the government can do about the creation of these files, but the government can shut down dissemination of the files.
Yes,
So
that's
if you
true.
create it, you keep it on your own hard drive, the government might be disgusted by you, but it has no business with you. It's art. Loathsome, but it's art. If you distribute it, on the other hand, that's non-consensual, just distribution of somebody's that making somebody into porn non-consensually. That's very illegal.
Yeah, that is very illegal. You can't do that.
So that's how this is probably going to come down as well. These types of stories, AI generated craziness. But I still say to everybody out there, especially women, take super, you've been told to take care with information about yourself you put online. This is a complete, like, this is something that when we were making all those warnings like 10, 15 years ago, we did not see this coming.
Oh, at least, especially not this fast. We thought we'd have time to adapt, and we have not.
And everything is moving so absolutely quickly right now. We're moving faster than ethics and law are. So I was talking earlier. I had a conversation with a new SEO agency. Just he wanted to sort of pick my brains and pose a whole bunch of problems that he might come across. And one of the things he asked me was on article marketing. How many articles should be written and how they should be published and what they should be published for and how you would structure it and all that. And my head started to hurt in the middle of his question, not because of the conversation, but because of the implications of what he was trying to work out for his clients. Imagine the tidal wave of regenerative content that's going to be coming our way because to get links and traffic, the great strategy right now is to write a gajillion articles and just flood the web.
Yeah.
It's. Do you understand exactly how that is supposed to improve traffic to a site?
I don't, but did we talk last week about the news thing? I don't think we did. Because now
Well, I mean,
Google's.
this isn't even like news traffic.
No, but I
Given
mean.
that they're like blog posts and
But Google's about to make that problem worse by giving that AI tool to news publishers.
well, indeed,
Paying
that'll
them.
I think have an even weirder effect. Was it CNET that has sort of been removed from the list of credible news sources?
On Wikipedia, yes. In
So
fact,
Wikipedia,
I read the whole discussion about it.
you mean at the Wikipedia editors' discussion of whether
Yeah.
they should or should isn't it amazing the depths they go to and the what how important information security is to them?
Yeah, it's really interesting because at first they're going back and forth about whether they should really delist them. I forget the word they use internally, or if they should just demote them, like only use certain articles. Because they discovered that the AI written articles at CNET were written by a certain name. It wasn't a real name, it was just like, CNN Finance or something. And then they decided no, they didn't want to do that because they were discovering so many had so many errors in them. That they're not going to use them anymore. So CNET is not a credible source on Wikipedia. It's kind of huge.
That's really too bad because CNET was such a, I don't know, an important publication, not just a publication, a family of publications in the early days of the industry. Yeah, I guess dear publishers, don't fire your entire staff and hope to get by on AI because AI never worked that way to begin with.
And think of the implications of not getting Wikipedia links anymore to your site.
Well,
Even if
indeed.
they're no followed, but still there's a trust factor there with citations, so.
Wikipedia. Having a strong Wikipedia presence and respect from Wikipedia is can make or break a publication like CNET. Getting quoted and being a source for quotes for citations at Wikipedia is massive for them, or would be if they were credible.
Yeah, and now they're being not credible, like CNET. CNET, like, but
Well,
that's what, that's one of the things about using AI content, especially, I don't know how CNET editors didn't check for accuracy, but they didn't. When you publish it and it's filled with errors, because then people stop trusting your brand.
I hate to say it, but I think the right response is web editors. There's not a lot of them left.
That's true. Something like 30% of the journalists left are employed by the New York Times.
Excuse me? For real.
Yeah,
Like
for
30%
real.
of journalists, of actual paid journalists in America, are employed by the
I believe
NYT.
it's 30%. Maybe it's a little lower than that, but it was pretty substantial. Yeah, it was yesterday in a video I was watching. They've concentrated so much and they fired so many that most like that many journalists are left at New York Times. And New York Times isn't, it's not like they haven't laid off people either. I think it's part of a conversation that needs to be had about investment firms buying up things, because a lot of what happens is CNET was bought by an investment firm, and what they want to do is they want to push making money and AI content they can, not pay someone to do, push it out there real quick, and then either make ad money or, like with a lot of the sites now, do reviews and things like that. So it's a credibility issue, and that leads us into the Google being paying publishers to actually publish 3 AI stories a day. It'll be small publishers, but they're taking content from other sites and regurgitating it into the smaller sites, which is really weird because we've talked about this before. In 2022, Google made an algorithm that penalizes sites that regurgitate other people's content with AI. So is it the left hand doesn't know the right hand and what they're doing? Or do they get a buy on this? Are they using this for some sort of weird training? Like, why would you pay
Or is it
publishers? Go ahead.
to be a little more I don't know, harsh or paranoid? Maybe it's not what's being done, but who's allowed to do
That could be too,
it?
because it's a suite of tools and they have to produce 3 pieces a day for 12 months in certain categories, and they get a five-figure sum to do this.
Well, gee, would Google be above using its heft and its market dominance to force webmasters, publishers, or other actors to do something and set a standard? Would that be abnormal for them?
Google, that's in court with the DOJ right now for being a monopoly for preferencing its own websites.
And how many times have you asked Google made you jump and made you make your clients jump and spend a whole bunch of money just to pull back on, some experiment that they were? My point is, Google itself sets a whole bunch of different standards. It's working to, I don't know how to say this, be so large that it can do pretty much whatever it wants to do.
Yeah, well, this, I mean, what Adweek wrote about it here is not that it doesn't point away from that. So it says that the Google News Initiative is who did this, started onboarding publishers in January, and the program kicked off February. According to the conditions of the agreement, participating publishers must use the platform to produce and publish 3 articles per day, 1 newsletter per week, and 1 marketing campaign per month. To produce articles, publishers must first compile a list of external websites that regularly produce news and reports relevant to their readership. The sources of original material are not asked for their consent to have their content scraped or notified of their participation, but then they take these websites and they use their content to produce a new article on the other website that they're telling them have to use the tools to create AI copy. So that kind of what you said doesn't eliminate that, that's for sure. Because they could be creating a tool that they tell people, if you want to create AI copy, you have to use our tool or something like that. I mean, that'd be pretty aggressive, given they're in court for a monopoly right now. But has Google been that aggressive before? Subtly, yes.
And
But
if they're not, might their competitors be just as aggressive in different ways? I mean, this was all sparked by what, like 18 months ago. OpenAI was desperate for money, and so it unleashed, and then got all that Microsoft cash. We live in a move fast, do it now universe, and it wouldn't surprise me if Google pushed its heft to make this happen and dealt with any repercussions later. And heaven knows, there's nothing that the US government can find them that's going to be worth as much as cornering the market on AI content.
well, and also, they're mimicking a tool called Reach, which I mean, so the tool is called Gutenbot.
Gutenflat? Yeah,
Gutenbot,
that's cute. That's wonderful.
hello bot, like a Google bot, but Gutenbot. It's a European one that quickly rewrites stories which have appeared on other sites within its network. The difference is the Google one is going to rewrite other people's content to their site, which
50% of news sources have blocked generative AI from
not
accessing them,
Google.
we said earlier, right?
Yeah, but Google's AI it would require to block entire Google bot to be excluded.
So
So
coming back to what I said, would it be above Google to or below Google to actually manipulate the market itself and the environment and everybody participating in the environment to do what it wants them to do?
I would say no, since it's happened before. So,
Over and over and over again.
over.
And you know what?
Yeah.
And this is Google. Just I know you guys are listening. This is why Barry said quite sincerely that a survey said quite really that people hate you.
Yeah, because this is literally ripping off other people's
Yeah.
journalist stories to rewrite. And you're saying, and the problem is, which makes it even worse, is they try to say they're doing it for the public good because these smaller journalists, these smaller publications don't have the journalists to cover things. Well, okay, but ripping off the content and rewriting it with AI is not ethical, but you're trying to make it sound ethical because you're helping the little guy. It's like, and you're paying them. Well, no. And they should be more transparent because they're not paying them just to use the tool. They're getting something out of it. So
Well,
what are
and
they getting
indeed,
out of it?
the small community, the importance of local news and local news coverage can't be understated here. And small community papers and their networks in the olden days when they used to be able to sell classified ads, used to be able to sell space to people who needed to get information out in that old tech sort of printy sort of way. They made a lot of money. They made enough money to pay staffs to go gather news to wrap ads around. That doesn't exist anymore. And Google may be coming up with a solution for the small publishers just to keep publishing under their banner, but it's not the product that people need to sustain a well-informed populace, which is what Google was supposed to be doing when it was going to make our information available to us.
Yeah, because actually, what they're saying is when one of these index websites produce a new article, it appears on the platform dashboard. The publisher then applies the Gen AI tool to summarize the article, alters the language and style of the report, read like a news story. Then they underline with different colors things that might have accuracy issues or things that were taken verbatim from the source material so they can rewrite it again. And then it's gone by a human editor just to make sure there's nothing wrong with it. I'm sorry, hasn't Google been destroying sites since we got into this business for using spinners? Which this is just an AI spinner. This is literally just an AI spinner, and Google put their name on it. So now it's supposedly legitimate. But for the last 20 years, 25 years, they've been taking away sites' complete organic traffic for doing this.
Well, again, it's not a matter of what gets done. It's a matter of who's allowed to do it. Who's
I
allowed to
think
get away with doing it? Because
this is.
honestly, I mean, and you know what? I do not want to be an anti-Googler. I feel awful in this segment right now. I'm
Oh
feeling
no.
uncomfortable, but I can't escape. I can't step off this path right now because it just feels very apparent. Google is screwing people. Scroogle.
Yeah, they definitely are because they're telling you, "Hey, you're a publisher, but you're small. So give me all the people that you compete with, and we'll go steal their content, rewrite it for you, highlight where you might have directly lifted it so you don't get a plagiarism issue." And then accuracy issues to make sure there's not, they don't know what's accurate, but they know by consensus what's most likely right. And then they rewrite it again with the AI, like to make sure that you can't tell that they directly listed it. Which is like, it's like this. That's so many levels beyond a spinner. And if people don't know what a spinner is when affiliate content, usually it's not always affiliates, so it's mostly affiliates. They will take a site, scrape it. They will use what's called a spinner, which is just a way to change the words, but it wasn't algorithmically done with AI. They literally had like change this word to there's five choices and then spin it. Like use these five, one of these five choices. So it's sort of like a very low level, a manual large language model. It's doing, you know, predictive words in a sentence and it changes them. But that's all they did. Like they didn't like go around and scrape all their competitors and write three stories a day and a newsletter and an ad and then blah, 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 blah for a year. Like, anyway, it's just the weird thing is though, Google does have an algorithm that's supposed to detect this. Google's also creating the platform. And even though it says it doesn't market as AI content, you and I both know somewhere in there is an indicator this is Google produced content, code or a watermark or something. And so now does the algorithm ignore those sites? And does the left hand not know what the right hand is doing? And the left hand is the AI and the right hand is the algorithm that will take away the traffic from that? I mean, Google's either got a blindness problem or it's got a, we're going to let these people pass over this algorithm problem because they're not supposed to treat people differently. So anyway, this is just AI spinning and I don't think it's a good thing. I think there's other ways they could help small publishers that would be much better. But since they're paying them to do this, I don't think it's the end of the story. They're not paying the people they're taking the content from. They're paying the people that are producing the content from their AI tool.
Yep. Oh, and publishing and disseminating it. That's the important part is disseminating it because then you get the user feedback, the juicy, juicy, juicy feedback. And you get access to how people behave when coming across this information. And that's where the real money is. Google is buying a test group while removing control of local coverage.
Oh, you might have a big point there. They know what the AI content is. They can judge if it does better or worse than the other content.
Yeah. And again, this is about Google. Anything that the SEC or DOJ can throw at them in the way of antitrust behavior or anti-competitive behavior, that's peanuts compared to the value of owning the generative data market or generative reality market in the future.
Data is gold.
Yeah,
that's there's some data they're getting from this, and it could be multifaceted. It also could be detecting.
So we gotta loop back to, and you know, I almost hate doing this, but we have to loop back to how can SEOs deal with this? How can people in the search industry, how can people in the digital marketing industry, how can people employed in this environment make the world better for their clients and hopefully for themselves along the way?
With this
moving forward, with Google paying small publishers to use AI, how do I get my stuff in there? How do I attribute traffic back from that to some entity that moves somebody to a product offering of my clients? And you know what, Google, think about this. If you're making this reality happen, make sure that the small businesses that are fueling the economy, that actually, you know, keep bread and butter on the tables of America, make sure that they're getting the traffic back to their websites and can attribute it somewhere so that, like Wanamaker said, they know where their advertising dollars get spent.
Yeah. Also, are they going to provide the legal assistance when they get sued by the bigger guys that they stole the content from? Because now they're going to be known. Right?
Well, no, if there's a paper trail agreement, then Google can deal with slapping away any nuisance lawsuits from the actual content creators. Goodness gracious.
We don't know what the agreement is.
They are kind of dealing with this now. They have a massive, the New York Times is going after them. They're buying off content publishers like at Reddit and all the other platforms, Tumblr, etc. So, you know, they'll either deal with it in court or they'll deal with it in the accountant's office.
Although I do think Google needs to come out, and if Google's listening,
they are.
They need to come out and they need to tell us if that algorithm would be applied to this content, because that algorithm is specifically written, 2022 algorithm specifically written to eliminate this kind of content. So
why do they need to tell us that? And why do they need to eliminate it? It's not about, again,
because
it's
that content,
about,
it's
about
that's
control,
content,
not about fair.
That's what that algorithm does. It eliminates that content.
Okay.
So if it eliminates that content, are these guys getting a special buy? Are they getting a special pass? Are they going to get eliminated? They just don't know it. 6 months from now, that content will just disappear because the algorithm caught up with them. Is there a watermark that tells Google? Maybe Google's testing that algorithm to see if it can pick up AI content.
Dear publishers, getting into bed with Google. Google has this habit of rolling out of bed at about 3, maybe 4 in the morning, getting in its pickup truck and going to buy milk and never coming home again.
Ever coming home. Yeah. Yeah.
It
Because
does this
really,
once in a while.
think about it. I have an AI algorithm. Now, they can't do this AI detection across the web. It'd be way too expensive, but they do have an algorithm that does that. Now, I know these new sites are creating the stuff with AI. And I say to the, see if the AI algorithm can pick it up. They're paying these people to do it, right? They're not taking money from them. So that's a cover. I'm not done being a conspiracy theorist here right now, but it does seem like that's a possibility.
Again, I
Anyway.
don't intend to be a conspiracy theorist, and I honestly dislike falling into the anti-Google camp on things. Not that I love Google. I'm not a big fanboy. It's just that I owe them a career. And I really want my clients to do well in that environment because that's the information
Yeah.
environment, or it has been up until now. And this is a time of extraordinary change. SEOs, learn the environments. It's about drawing traffic. I'm a big lover of Reddit right now. Why? Because I got a feeling that I'm going to be seeing traffic from there one way or another.
A little while.
It's true.
Because you know what happened? Because now that they are so promoting to the point of annoyance, Reddit, SEOs are in there, especially affiliates are in there now using it to make sure they get ranked. And Google will
Indeed.
have to deal with that in 6 months to a year.
They will. But in the
So.
meantime, I got a job to do. You know our environments, know where you might be getting stuff from. And if you got to give advice to your clients, like I think some of the best advice from the hockey world, don't go where the puck was, go where the puck's going to be. From the baseball world, go where they're going to hit it or hit it where they ain't. Either way, you do your job. But go where the puck is going to be. That's what you need to do as an SEO, thinking about, what to advise your clients. And Google's spending a great deal of time on giving love to information platforms. Reddit is the new analog for the web. And I read something really smart in one of the Reddit SEO forums the other day.
And what's that?
And to quickly summarize it, you're seeing click traffic decrease substantially across the board right now. And one of the reasons is, and it's not necessarily because of AI. AI isn't necessarily going to drive the death of the website. People are using the web differently. Most people access the web from a smartphone, and they're not necessarily doing it via a browser. They're doing it via an app, and that app tends to be for a platform of some sort or another. They're doing it via Instagram, via Facebook, via Reddit. I have no idea how much time I spend on the Reddit app on my cell phone, but it's immense. That's where our traffic's going. So that's where you got to be. That's where your people are. It's our job to be there too, right?
Sure. It depends on how your job's defined. But if you're doing growth, you go outside of just what people do for search.
But again, yeah, our job is to draw traffic.
Yeah, but organically. But there is expansions to that depending on what you're doing. So,
Well, if you're a content marketer, write content for Reddit. So you write your you write you write the you know you have your content strategy. You're putting stuff up on the blog. You're getting guest posts out there, however you want to call it. You're getting your posts out on other people's websites, and now you have the extra step of distributing it through Reddit.
of course,
Making
it's, I
Reddit
mean,
aware, making a good little write-up for Reddit so that they're aware of what you've written, etc.
it's parasite SEO. It's a black ass tactic, but Google created it. Like in the past, the parasite SEO means you get your guest
See, I
blog
don't even see
on.
this as parasite because it's
Oh,
not, because
it
the web is
totally is.
changing. This isn't about going and grabbing web traffic or grabbing
How many
website traffic.
SEOs thought of putting stuff on Reddit before Reddit started surfacing all over the top 10?
You know what? Brett
Yeah, he
Custodes.
talked about it years ago, but
He's been on
nobody
this for forever.
yeah, and very few people did it. So it is parasite SEO. They're going to go into Reddit subgroups. They're going to get themselves in there, and they're going to get their links in there, and they're going to get their topics in there, and Google's going to surface them until Google realizes that the SEOs have killed it because that's all they're getting in the content, and then they'll destroy it. So definitely
Yeah.
use it as a tactic right now. Just know it has a limited lifespan because Google will at some point decide that they do not like what we have done to their mistake. So, which is a mistake because they surface it everywhere now. I have queries that have nothing to do with anything Reddit would ever help me with, and like there'll be 10 like references to Reddit in above the fold. It's insane. It's insane.
Well,
So,
you know,
but I'm with
you
you.
want
You've
to
got
buy a
that.
blue widget? I got a whole bunch of blue widgets I can sell you. I got
Exactly.
green
I
widgets, I
posted
got
like
purple widgets.
I
All of them
found
can be sold
20
through Reddit.
forums in Reddit that where I could talk about blue widgets, and now I'm surfacing all over the place. So I agree with you. People should definitely keep it in their mind as a tactic, but just also realize that tactic could go away. So don't make it your whole life. So
By the way, dear Reddit, sorry we just screwed your IPO.
I
So sorry,
think
man.
we
Try
did
tennis.
that in
Yeah, I care. Here's quite lucrative.
earlier when we told people about the forum that's going to change the stock price.
Well, no, we
What's in their
didn't.
disclosure
Trust me,
docs?
we
No,
didn't
we
screw
didn't.
anything, and nor
No.
will SEOs
No.
if Reddit's whole value proposition as a well moderated forum to the web goes south. SEOs won't be the ones who screwed that up.
No, this is
We're
true.
just honestly, we live in a capitalist environment where we need to make money for other people who are making money, who are paying us to help them make money. That's the way it works. Sucks, eh? Doing it is described like that, but
Yeah,
it's
kind
kind
of.
of how it actually
I
works.
do it so they make money so they can keep people employed or not fire people.
I do it so that they can make money, so they keep paying me. What they do
Well,
with
that
their money,
too.
I have no control over.
No, I like it makes me feel good to know that if I got them substantial amount of growth that they don't have to do a round of layoffs, you know? So
Well, indeed,
makes me feel good.
if that's
Yeah.
something that that's substantially important to me, yeah, no, I guess some of the companies I'm working with, like I get the what we're doing, it's just the whole universe is just so big. It's hard to imagine that our work is maybe affecting a layoff 3 or 4
Oh gosh, it's
quarters
not
from now.
hard. Not hard to think that at all. I mean, I just talked to somebody who might work with who's down 90% and they don't even know why. It wasn't a Google update, so they don't know why they're down 90%. But down when you're down 70, 80, 90%, that's the death of a business if it's for too long. And if you're down 20 and 30% long term for a small business, that'll kill it too. So I
For
think,
many of
yeah.
those people, I'm going to suggest because I'm seriously, the more I think about, people are just using the web itself. They're using it differently, the internet. They aren't necessarily using the web as the web. You know what I mean? Reddit gathers the web for you, or Tumblr gathers the images for you. Instagram gathers the images and the experience and curates it all for you. Facebook's gives you 1/100th of it, etc.
Well, there's definitely segmentation, but I haven't heard anything that search is down or use of the internet is down. There's just additional places that we engage. I could be wrong, though. I
Yeah.
haven't checked recently, so it's possible
Well,
I'm wrong,
again,
but.
when and I think I know the client you're speaking of specifically and the product they offer. So my very first thought would, and I can't say that out loud. My very first thought for them is those people are doing exactly what they were doing at that website somewhere else.
Not the one I'm talking about,
We
you
should
don't
talk about
know.
that offline.
Yeah, I didn't tell you about this one, so you don't know which one this is.
Oh,
Yeah.
secrets. Cool.
But by the way, I just took a look on Statista, and internet traffic is still increasing. So it hasn't, because we're bringing people online worldwide, so it hasn't gone
Well,
down.
indeed, but the way it's being used is different.
Yeah,
Where
possibly.
people are
I mean,
going when they're online is different. What apps? And then again, is it desktop or mobile? If it's mobile, I guarantee you it's mostly apps, not browser.
well, true. I don't use the browser much. No, actually, no, I do use a website. And on my tablet, all I do is websites because it's a pain in the butt on my tablet to go from app to app. So I think it depends. It's a few years ago, but Cindy Crumb said the average number of apps people use on their phone is 3 to 4. So I think that there's additions to traffic. I don't necessarily think it's replaced traffic. I haven't heard any indicators. And Google was still making more money than God, quarter before last that I heard last time. I think I heard their numbers.
Well, I don't know. Bing Copilot might disagree with that. Google making more money than God. Big
oh.
Copilot's like, I'm Microsoft. I'm making more than you.
How's that voice go? I make more money.
That's exactly what I'm Microsoft. That's exactly what he sounds like. It's like Bill Gates, like took some helium and steroids at the same time.
Oh, we should AI make that voice. I am Bing Copilot. You all bow down to me.
Yeah.
So you know what? I know we're over time now, but we're gonna need to wrap up soon. But you know what? Can we run through a few Google search features that are coming out? Because we don't have to talk in depth about it.
Yeah, go. Yeah, we are way over time.
Sorry, anybody who's listening. So Google Local Pack is having like justifications, which just means they're adding things that people liked at that location in blue underneath the local pack. So if I went to a restaurant and they liked the steak, it's going to say people liked steak. I mean, it sounds like a fine addition. I don't think there's any issues with that. Anything to add to that one?
I think that's perfectly obvious. People do, in fact, like steak.
Then there's the Google Popular Opinion Search Console carousel. I mean, Search Carousel, not Search Console. Search Carousel. So they're just adding perspectives to, like, people's opinions of things. I mean, I don't think there's any better way to describe it. Do you have a better way to describe it?
Well, I think it's experience and user testimonial is really important to Google. It's like the new line of credibility. How they test that credibility is another question. But
one thing though.
In many ways, I think it's good. It again, how do I draw traffic from it?
So let's real quick. Perspectives and opinions was the tab. They pulled opinions out of perspectives and separated them. The popular opinions are only feature links to articles, not social media or forum posts. Perspectives are forum posts and social media. So that'd be the first thing to do, is to see if your articles are coming up in opinions in main search as opposed to the separate tab.
How would that attribute?
I don't know, because Google doesn't even attribute Discover. Like, your Discover traffic just goes into, like, general traffic. There's no Discover bot that or agent UA that they pick up.
Yep.
They do in Search Console, but they don't in analytics. So there's no way to decipher whether traffic came from Discover or not. So sometimes they'll just go on. Yeah.
So we have time for one more, guys. Honest to goodness, the editors are pulling their hair out.
Well, at least once it goes up, it's just how long people want to listen to us babble. You know what? I just go one last one that's not about Google. This was a very AI heavy show this week, but that's because Google SEO and Google Search was the whole show last week, pretty much, and there wasn't a lot today. But I do want to make comment real quick. And I don't think it's being done for altruistic reasons. I think it's being done for legal reasons from other court cases that are occurring at Quixtar. But they have reinstated the policy where you cannot misgender or dead name trans people, which, however that's come about, I think is a huge positive.
How was this announced?
It didn't. It was just rolled. It was just rolled out. People just picked up that that section of Twitter's documents had changed. So
that's
it's been
excellent. That's incredible. My head is sort of like turning around in my body like an owl's. That's wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's called a section. It's labeled use of prior names and pronouns. Updated the policy. This is from Ars Technica. That X will reduce the visibility of posts that purposefully use different pronouns to address someone other than what that person uses for themselves, or that use of a previous name that someone no longer goes by as part of their transition. And so, again, this is most likely related to court cases that Twixtar is in right now, but it is good to see that they have reinstated that as a violation and that they'll suppress posts that do that.
You know what? On behalf of all reasonable people everywhere, I'm willing to call that application X, if that's what they want, out of respect for that kind of move. Good on them.
No, I have
no idea. I mean, you're probably right, responding to a lawsuit, because these aren't necessarily the best people. But I'm surprised and can't help but be happy about that.
I'm very happy about it. The responding to a lawsuit is in some of the commentary about this change. I didn't cite,
Okay.
I didn't cite what
We don't know
lawsuit.
that for sure, though. That's just people thinking. Okay.
Oh no, I mean this was official writing from journalists, but no one had anything super specific for us to quote today. So just that it's most likely related to a lawsuit, but we can't confirm that yet. So, but
Well,
yeah, so that's good news. I mean, you know, it's such a huge thing that he took it off in the first place. So I'm glad it's back, but I don't think it's a big altruistic thing. So I'm not calling it X. We'll keep with Twixter. I like Twixter.
no.
That's your name for it. I think it works well.
Well, I do like Twixter because I think that's quite a good
That's a good
descriptor, and
name.
it does get the X in there out of
It
respect.
does.
But you know, if they're going to be good about, and I was also calling it Twixter because he wasn't being good about calling people by the name they wanted to be called by. Basic respect. So you know, basic respect dictates.
Trickster.
That'll
It's
be
gonna be
hard
Trickster.
though, because
No.
X is a letter in the alphabet.
It's gonna be Twixter.
Yeah, baby Twixter.
Baby Twixter.
Baby Twitter. That's it. Baby Twitter.
Yeah.
It's devolved. Okay, well, that's actually a really positive way to close the show, even if it is in response to a lawsuit. Yay, good on them. Okay, so on behalf of we do gotta go. It's we're far over time. So on
Oh, yes.
behalf of Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from DigitalWays Media. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 1st of March, 2024. Rank well, be smart, know the environments that information is being drawn from. Be kind to each other, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.